All right, well, good morning, everyone. The introverts have sat down. That means it's time to stop talking. The introverts have seated. So it's time to keep going forward with church right now. Happy Easter again, everyone. For those that are new or visiting, my name is Ryan. I'm the lead pastor here. It is so good to be with all of you. Can we just warmly welcome all the visitors who are here with us today? Like this? Yeah. And isn't it so beautiful in our church today? With the flowers and stuff, we thank Allie Mel and the team for doing that amazing job. And how about our worship team? Our worship team just crushed it this morning. So good. Okay. Is there anything else we can clap for? I'm just kidding. So good to be with all of you. Listen, if you're new to church, Bible, Jesus stuff, and it's kind of like, I just feel like I might be behind today, I just wanted to start by leveling the playing field a little bit so that we're all on the same page and that you realize that we're all a lot more similar than we are different in this moment. And we're going to do that with a little bit of Easter trivia, okay? Ready for some Easter trivia? We did this, you guys are like, not really, but that's fine. We're doing it anyway. I'm the one talking, so it's happening. Easter trivia right now, we did this at Christmas time. If you were in the first service, okay, and you know the answers, zip it, okay? Don't ruin it. You guys ruined it for Christmas last time, and I'm still bitter about it. Here we go. Question number one. What was the central accusation that led to the crucifixion of Jesus? Was it A, he was charged with turning water into wine without a liquor license? B, he was indicted for performing miracles without a permit. C, that was kind of funny, not really, laugh. That's okay, I agree, it's not that funny. C, he was accused of claiming to be the king of the Jews. Or D, he was accused of blasphemy for asserting divine status with God. How many of you think it was A, the liquor license thing? All right, smart, all right, good. How about B? B, the permit thing. Okay, good, all right. How about C? Takers on C. How about D? All right. The correct answer is C. Whoa! He was accused of being the king of the Jews. I know the last group did the exact same thing because when the Sanhedrin and the chief priests brought Jesus in, they accused him of blasphemy. But when he went before the Roman governor, the actual accusation was that he proclaimed to be king. Okay, we'll talk more about that in a second. All right, second question. You guys did terrible on the first one. Second question. Who first discovered the empty tomb where Jesus was buried? Was it A, Peter? B, a group of local shepherds following a lost sheep. C, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Kind of stinks to be the other Mary, like that's how she's known for posterity. D, a time-traveling historian with a malfunctioning GPS. Or E, the Roman guards. How many of you think it was A? B? C? D? My son, awesome. E? Okay, you guys did better than the last group. It was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Good job. Way to go. All right, last question. Let's move on to something more serious now. In the ultimate showdown of Easter candy, one contender stands out as the undisputed champion. What is it? Is it A, Reese's peanut butter eggs, the unbeatable heavyweight champion of Easter, blending peanut butter and chocolate in a symphony of deliciousness? Is it B, Cadbury mini eggs, valiantly trying to capture the hearts of chocolate lovers everywhere with their colorful candy shells and milk chocolate filling? Is it C, Reese's peanut butter eggs, because we thought it worth mentioning twice, just in case? Is it D, jelly beans, the underdog of Easter candy, some would say iconic, but often found at the bottom of the basket, bringing a mix of regret and why did I eat the licorice one? Or is it E, Reese's peanut butter eggs, because good things come in threes, especially when they're this delicious? How many of you think it was A, B, C, D, E? Okay, the answer is A and C and E. It is Reese's peanut butter eggs. Yes, the champion. All right, I had a really, really disturbing interaction after the first service. And someone asked me, why weren't Peeps on the list? They've been kicked out of the church. Yes. I'm just kidding. We love you, Mike Klein. We are so grateful for you. We are so grateful for you. Okay, so listen, how'd you do on the test? Great, not so great, so-so, whatever. You guys are all right. Ultimately, listen, it's not a big deal as to how much you know with respect to the details about the Easter story, okay? So if you're coming here and like this is your first time back in church for a long time and you're like, man, I had no idea the answer to those questions. If you were to ask me even more, I wouldn't know them. Listen, that is okay, because the most important thing today is that we get at the why behind Easter. Why is Easter so important? And to dig into that, I'm going to start by sharing a verse that I think gets at and addresses some of the why behind Easter. Why is Easter so important? Why should I care about it today? And we see this in Romans 8. Listen to this. The spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead, now keep listening here, lives in you. How amazing is that? How awesome is that? That the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. The one who raised Christ from the dead will also make your mortal bodies alive through his spirit who lives in you. And so what does all of that mean? How does that verse get at the why and why Easter is important for us? Well, listen, here's what that means. The historical resurrection event that took place something like 2,000 years ago now, and that's what we're celebrating here today. That's why we've gathered here today, is to remember and celebrate that. But we have not gathered here just to remember and just to celebrate that event as a historical event. We have also gathered here today to both remember and also realize the power of that event in our lives today. In every area of our life today, that is my hope, is that your eyes are opened and you're able to at least grab hold of a little bit more of this reality of the power of the resurrection in your life for every area of your life, and that you would taste a little bit of that today. In all those areas of your lives where you would say, like, I am dying there. It feels barren. I feel dead there. And maybe it's something with your emotions, or maybe it's your mind, or your thoughts, or your marriage, or your finances, or just life in general, and you're just like, I'm not doing as well as everyone thinks. I put up a good front, but there are some areas in my life where I just feel dead right now. And for you, my hope is that you would understand that today, Easter is not just some event that took place 2,000 years ago, but it's something that can impact your life today. It can impact your life today. In other words, hear this right now. Here's what I believe. The resurrected King can resurrect me. The resurrected King can resurrect you. And you, and you, and you. Listen, this is my prayer. And this is what I've been praying for the last 2 weeks, that you would take hold of this. That you take hold of this reality, that you take hold of this truth that the resurrected King can in fact resurrect me. But listen, there's a catch, all right? And I want to talk a little bit about this catch right now, because some people ask me, and they'll be like, Ryan, I'm trying to do this thing. I go to church when I can, and I'm trying to read my Bible and pray more, and I help and serve at church once in a while, or I'm a part of a group. Or maybe that's something you used to do and you've been on hiatus from that for a while, because as you look back on that season of your life, it's like as I was stepping into that reality of what I've understood it to mean to follow Jesus, when I stepped into that, or when I was living in that, or even right now in my life, things still feel like they're falling apart. Life still feels dead in some areas. And if that's you, listen, I hear that. And I get it. I get it. But maybe we need to understand and embrace this catch, that yes, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today. We celebrate this historical event that so many of us in this room, we believe took place 2,000 years ago. But this event that took place in the past has implications for us today. major implications for us today. Listen, if I allow it, if we allow it to. And so that big idea that I shared with all of you wasn't quite complete. Wasn't quite the whole picture. The resurrected king can resurrect me if I surrender to his lead. That's the big idea this morning. The resurrected king can resurrect me if I surrender to his lead. And so that last little bit there is the caveat. That's the catch. And so what I want for you today, and I want to show all of you this today, is that you can't experience the power of the resurrection king, of the resurrected king, until you make him the king of your life. That's what I want to show you today. Okay. Now, one of the three questions that I asked at the very beginning was that question about why Jesus was crucified. And most of you got that question wrong, like very wrong. But the right answer, remember, was, and we learned this, he was accused of claiming to be the king of the Jews. And we see this scene unfold in Matthew 27, verse 11. It says that Jesus was now standing before Pontius Pilate, and he was asking him questions, and he asked him this basic, simple question. It was this. He said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" In essence, he was asking Jesus, "People are saying that you're saying that you're the king of the Jews. Is that true? Because that's a problem here in this area of the world, because there's one king. And that king is Caesar. And if you're saying that you're king, that's an issue." And I love Jesus' response. I think it's kind of funny. He just says this. He says, "You say so. You say so. They're your words." And I think it's funny. And maybe you don't think it's so funny, because what happens after this is like deeply unfunny, right? What happens after this is quite literally brutal. Jesus is taken away, and he's tortured, and he's beaten. And he's brought into this area called the Praetorium, which you can basically kind of understand as like the locker room for the Roman guard. And they beat him, and they punched him, and they spit on him. And they did all of those things, and then they did this. This was really unique. They took some thorns. Many of you probably know this part of the story. And they twisted them together, and they made a crown of thorns for him. And here's why this is so unique. We don't have any other historical record of an individual who was crucified who also received a crown of thorns. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that no one else received a crown of thorns. It's just to say that we don't have the record of it, because the reason why Jesus received this twisted crown of thorns upon his head was because he was professing and claiming to be king, to be who he was. I mean, the guards were mocking him for this very reason. It says at the end of Matthew 27, it says that they knelt before him and mocked him. They mocked him. I mean, here was Jesus, the one who created the world, now suffering at the hands of the Roman guard, being spat on and punched, that crown of thorns drilled to the top of his head. And I want to say something that might sound a little offensive to some of you. And I don't intend for it to be offensive, but I just really feel like I have to say this. I think that today, even today, so many of us, we still mock Jesus. We mock him. Some of us maybe do it knowingly, but I think many of us, we do it unknowingly. And here's how we do this. Here's how we mock him. We mock him because we take the parts of him that we like. We take the parts of him like loving Jesus, grace Jesus, kind Jesus, forgiving Jesus, and we're like, that's the kind of Jesus I like. And we take those parts of him and we embrace him, but for so many of us, we embrace those parts of Jesus, but he is not King Jesus in our lives. He's not King Jesus. And why? Well, I think the reason is quite simple. It's because we don't like being told what to do. We don't. None of us like being told what to do, even by God. None of us like being told what to do. And so what do? Well, we take the Bible and we take the stories about Jesus and we adjust them to our expectations, and we pick and choose the things that we like, and we ignore and disregard the things that we don't like. And so often those things that we ignore and disregard about who Jesus is and his kingship and his ruling and reigning in our lives, and not just the world, but in our lives as well, so often those things that we disregard are the very things that would compel us and propel us to actually change our lives. And in essence, when we do this, here's what I think we're doing. We're just twisting together another crown of thorns. when we live life how we want to live it and we place it back on Jesus' head and we say, "Hail Jesus, King of the Jews," while we believe what we want to believe and we think what we want to think and we live how we want to live. We say it with our mouths, but we don't live it with our lives that Jesus is King. And listen, the resurrected King can resurrect you, can transform your life if you surrender to his lead, if you crown him as your king. But so many of us, we are stuck in this place in our lives where we acknowledge him with our mouths. We sing the songs that we just sung this morning. We sing those things and we acknowledge it with some superficial actions in our lives. But deep down inside, we have not truly bent the knee and surrendered our lives to Jesus as king. And this is the catch. This is the catch, because right now, Jesus is ruling and reigning over all, because 3 days after these events in Matthew 27, Jesus was crucified, he was put in that grave, but 3 days later, he came forth from that grave resurrected and more alive than ever before, ruling and reigning, because Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. It's who he is. The resurrection was vindication of the reality of who Christ is. He is king. And some of you are probably aware of this, but at the end of the Bible, at the end of the book, like the last two pages, the big picture of who Jesus is he is king, and he is ruling, and he is reigning. Revelation, it says this, "Then I saw heaven opened, and there came a white horse." What's so funny about this is my youngest daughter was talking about this passage for some reason recently, and he's like, "You know when he comes back on like the sparkly unicorn?" We were like, "No, we don't know what you're talking about." It's a white horse, okay? "The one riding it was called Faithful and True." That is who Jesus is. "And with justice, he judges and goes to war." This is a picture of Jesus in the Bible. And so we can hold on to the loving Jesus and the kind Jesus and the forgiving Jesus. Listen, he is all of those things. Infinitely so, he is all of those things. But he is also king. He's also king. His eyes are like a fiery flame, and there are many crowns on his head. He's such a king, he's got more than one crown on his head. He has a name written that no one knows except himself. And so again, hear this. We can like the things about Jesus that we like. His love, his forgiveness, his humility. All of these things are beautiful things that are so true about who Jesus is. But he's also king. He's also king, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so that, all of that is like the Bible and theology part of this. Let's take like the last few moments together this morning and let's get more personal. Let's get more personal, because as important as those things are, what I think is most important for each and every one of us this morning is this question. Is he your king? Ask yourself that. And just be honest. In your mind, only God can see it, right? Just be honest. Is he my king? Is he truly my king? Listen, he is the forgiving king and the loving king, but he's also the resurrected king. And he's ruling and reigning right now. Is he your king? Now, this is kind of a weird question to ask all of us this morning. And by us, I mean Americans. Because we don't have kings. Some of us might act like kings, some of us might act like queens, but listen, we don't have real kings. Like, that's like the whole reason this country was founded, was to get away from the monarchy, to get away from rigid class structures. And so we built this country with us at the epicenter of it. I mean, how does our Constitution start? Any constitutional scholars here today? How does it start? What does it say? We the people. We are right at the center of it. We have built a culture and a society where my voice matters and my opinion matters. And listen, I think it's great. I love it. If there's a law we don't like, we can try to change it. If there's a new law that we want to get put in place, I don't know, there's probably some way you can figure out and make that happen. I don't know. But listen, the Bible is not written with a democratic mindset. It isn't. It isn't. Listen. This idea that we are born and raised in this culture where we understand ourselves to be a self-ruled people, self-ruled, And yet what we see in the Bible is that when we surrender to Jesus' lead, we become a God-ruled people. And for many of you in this room, you're like, that sounds like a terrible trade-off. Like you're saying like, today, this morning, what you would propose is that I would get off of the throne and allow Jesus to be there on the throne, that I would kneel before him. Yes, that is what I'm saying. And I know that sounds like an unfair trade, but hear this. When you surrender to Jesus' lead and become a God-ruled person, he does not subject you and make you his servant, okay? He does not make you to be someone who has to bow down in such a way where like you're serving in this like small way. You become a prince or a princess in his kingdom. You are brought into the royal family of God. And God is there ready and waiting and prepared to give you the best of everything that he has. That is what happens. But ultimately, we don't acknowledge this or we don't believe this. We don't believe it. We don't trust him. And so for many of us, we just go on liking the parts of Jesus that we like, but we never surrender to him as king. One way of putting it is like this. We like some of his attributes, but we don't like so much his absolutes in our lives. So here's the problem with that. The resurrection power of God never works in our lives, and we wonder why. We wonder why. But could it be? Could it be because we have yet to surrender to Jesus' lead in our lives? Are we taking hold of certain attributes of his love, his graciousness, his goodness, his humility, but we're not surrendering to him as king of our lives? And because of this, we are missing out on what Paul wrote about in Romans 8. We are missing out on the reality of this idea that the resurrected king can resurrect me, and we're missing out because we have yet to surrender to his lead. Everyone, I want to ask you again, is he your king? Is he your king? Speaking of the monarchy and kings and queens, I went through a phase a couple years ago where I like really got into like English monarchy and kings and queens. Really cool, huh? Right? Not so much. Very nerdy. But the reason why I got into it was because I was watching Netflix's The Crown. Anyone like this show, The Crown? Any Crown fans here today? I watched it for a while, and then it got really boring, so I stopped watching it. But what's so interesting about this TV show is at the same time the show was coming out, like there was major development in the world of like the real The Crown. In September of 2022, sadly, Queen Elizabeth II passed away. You remember this? And so like this time last year, like April of 2023, they were preparing for the coronation of King Charles, which took place on May 6th, 2023. But here's a thought I had as I was thinking about all of this. That moment right there in that picture, that was his coronation. Here's the thought, though. He was king since the moment Queen Elizabeth II breathed her last breath. And so for like 7 or 8 months, he was king. He was king since Queen Elizabeth passed. But 7 or 8 months later, he was finally crowned. And so what I'd like to say about this today in our context with Jesus, listen, he's already king. He's already ruling and reigning. You just need to crown him. You have to crown him as your king. In fact, listen, here's the whole message in one sentence. The resurrection power is available to you, but it's available at the level of your submission to him. The resurrection power is available to you, but it's available at the level of your submission to him. Like if you don't crown Jesus as your king, do you know who the queen or who the king of your life is? And don't point to your spouse right now, okay? Do you know who it is ultimately? Just point to yourself. It's you, me. And I hate to break this news to you this morning, but you make a terrible ruler of your life. And I don't say that because like I'm trying to be mean right now. I'm just saying that because like I've gone down that road multiple times and I have failed each and every time I have tried. It's heartbreaking. It's devastating. It's brutal. But there's something in each and every one of us that, like, we hold so tightly to being a self-ruled person. I will be king. I will be queen. I will do what I want, and I will live how I want to live. And I'll take the things about Jesus that I really like, and I'll hold tightly to those, but the things that confuse me, the things that seem weird to me, the things that are different to me, I'm going to disregard those things. So here's what I want to do. Because I know that there are some of you here today. You're listening to this, and you're like, this resonates with me. This resonates with me. I've tried to be king. I've tried to be queen of my life for many, many years now, and it's just not working out at all. And I want to learn more about this. I want to explore this more. Listen, if that's you, something real simple this morning. You still have those connection cards with you right now. And before you go this morning, if that's you and you're like, man, I just have questions or I want to explore this some more, would you just write your name on those cards, some way to contact you, and then just let us know you're interested in, like, hey, I have questions about this. I want to make Jesus the king of my life. I want to crown him. I want to follow him. I want to be obedient to him. I want to learn about him. I want him to guide and rule and reign over my life. Take one of those cards, put a little star on it. Let us know, a little note or something like that. And I promise you, within the next week or so, someone here from Arbor, myself, Pastor Allison, Brian, Hayden, we will follow up with you. We'll answer your questions. We'll walk alongside you. Because listen, all we are here, this community called Arbor Church, all we are a group of deeply imperfect people trying to figure out what it looks like on this side of eternity to surrender to Jesus with our entire lives. So really, no pressure, no agenda. We are on this journey together trying to figure this out and try to experience what the New Testament writers write about, this resurrection power. The resurrected king can resurrect me if I surrender to his lead. And so my hope is that all of us, we would know this. My hope is that you would know what Paul writes about in Ephesians 1, that you would know the incomparable greatness of his power toward those who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exercised when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Maybe you're like me and you hear that and you're like, it just seems too good to be true. Take a step of faith, move forward, explore this, learn about this. I promise you it's not too good to be true. Would you stand with me as I pray? Oh, Father, we are humbled. We are humbled by your goodness. We thank you for creating such a good and beautiful world. We thank you for the sunshine today. We thank you for community. We thank you for the people that we've been able to gather with this morning to celebrate your resurrection. Lord, so many of us in this room, God, I believe each and every one of us in this room, we have this longing in our hearts to experience the more that life has to offer, the more that you have to offer us through this life, not just in eternity in the future, but here and now. You promise us life and life abundantly when we follow you here. And that doesn't always look the way we think it's going to look, and it's not always going to match our expectations. But Jesus, I pray that you would give us strength and faith to take a step today, this week, very soon, to follow you and crown you. Lord, I know there are people here today where we've been convicted about this reality that we do not surrender to your lead, that you are not the king of our lives. So I pray that your spirit would just right now gently, kindly, lovingly, patiently use this quiet moment to reveal to us those areas of our lives that we're still holding on to. Those areas of our lives where we still doubt you. Still don't trust that you are as good as you say you are. Give us the faith and strength to step out and to kneel before you, God, right now, to crown you as king and surrender to your lead. We pray you would do this work in our midst, Jesus.